Well, many of us continuously ask the question, what can we do? What can we do for our brothers and sisters in Israel? And our guest who's with us live via telephone has a very good suggestion in terms of what we can do. We may wonder on this side of the world what it's like when a family goes through the horror of having a family member fall or be injured in the current war. For those of us over here, it's very hard to imagine. For Leah Spitz Goldenhirsch, it's not hard to imagine. Her son, Ari, is in critical condition after a horrific incident in Gaza that took place in an episode where two commanders were killed and six were wounded. Leah Spitz Goldenhirsch, if her name is familiar to you, is the Chief Human Resources Officer at Our Crowd, the venture platform founded by the well-known John Medved. And again, her son Ari is in critical condition after this terrible episode. In fact, right now, and we offered to postpone this out of consideration for Leah and her family, but we were told that they're anxious, and who can blame them, to have people around the world pray for Ari. Leah Spitz Goldenhirsch, a pleasure to welcome you to JM in the AM.
Thank you very much for having me.
Tell us about that. And by the way, again, I just want to remind everybody that Ari is in surgery as we speak, and we'll give everyone an opportunity to have him in mind as he goes through the latest of these surgeries. Tell us about the episode and what resulted in terms of injuries to Ari.
Okay, so Ari was a soldier in Gazi Brigade. He's been fighting in Gaza for the last several months. He had been home for a weekend and a half since October 7th. And just 2 weeks ago, we got a phone call while we were on our way down south to go volunteer for the day and pick fruit, saying that he had been seriously injured. And he was already in the hospital, and we should head over, that the army was waiting outside our door if we needed to be escorted. So it was the longest 45 minutes of our lives as we drove, not knowing what status our son was in, and if we'd make it here even in time. And thankfully, by endless miracles, our son survived. Ari was literally miracle after miracle after miracle. They had the explosion at 9:45 in the morning in Zaytun, which is a neighborhood in Gaza, where his, they had tried to go into a building and it was an explosion. The building was booby-trapped. And he was, and thankfully, the army is so prepared for these situations. So three of his friends, who are not medics, put on, were able to stop the bleeding with tourniquets. While they were under fire from RPG. Then the doctor who escorts the brigade came and thought he was actually dead and decided just to be on the safe side to check if he had a pulse. And he had a very, very weak pulse. And this doctor, Dr. Shafar, realized that he had one opportunity to save our son. He turned around, and miracle number three was that there was a armored vehicle from another unit who had heard about the event and came, and they had blood in this armed vehicle. And so Ari was able to get blood within minutes of his very, very fatal injury. They then made the decision to evacuate him on his own, even though there were a lot of other injured soldiers, but they realized that he was the most seriously injured, and they evacuated him. He was evacuated in this armored vehicle and then was transferred to a helicopter. And on the helicopter, the doctor said that he knew how serious he was injured. He was able to see, his arm and how badly it was injured. And then he was able to, he stayed alive during the helicopter ride. He got more blood during the helicopter. And the doctor said that the doctor explained to us that Ari understood that if he lost consciousness on this helicopter ride, that would be the end of his life. And so he fought with all the rest of the strength that he had, to stay alive. and by another miracle managed to get to the operating room within 42 minutes of the injury.
How old is Ari?
He will be 22, God willing, on Nueva Sede. He was born just under 22 years ago.
What number surgery is this that he's in right now?
He's in number 5, and he's scheduled to have many more. The doctors prefer to work very, very slowly in order, you know, to be able to do things at a slow pace, because every surgery also puts his life at risk.
And
so they never tell us what they're going to do in advance, because they do it as his body allows it.
Is he able to carry on conversations with you and things like that?
No. Ari has been sedated and ventilized for 2 weeks now. He's been 14 days in the ICU.
Since he got to the hospital.
He's been ventilized the entire time. Yes. We have not spoken to him. And he's still ventilized and sedated. He's the only one from the incident still ventilized and sedated. All the other ones, it's miracles that happen here at Soroka Hospital. When everybody, friends who were sedated and ventilized after 2, 3, 4 days, were able to start the rehabilitation. Ari's injuries are very, very, very severe. And because of such severe injuries, and because he's gotten now up to 35 blood transfusions, because of the serious injury, his lungs are also very, very seriously damaged as a secondary result of the incident. But we really believe that Ari survived by all those miracles. He has a purpose in life. He's strong, and we're strong. And we believe that with all the good that's being done in his honor, for all the davening that's being done in his honor, he's going to come out strong. He has a long rehabilitation process ahead of him. We've met people with similar injuries who have come and spoken to us who have been, this happened 15 years ago and 17 years ago and 10 years ago, who have created very, very full lives for themselves. But part of my prayer as a mother is not only that he should come out, strong on the physical aspect, that he should wake up with a fighting spirit. If he's strong, we're strong.
Leah, let me just slow down for a second. Let me just to ask how one davens for Ari. What would be the name that people would reference, especially as he's going through this fifth surgery, as you described right now?
Yeah. Moshe Aaron Ben Leah Bella.
Moshe Aaron Ben
Leah Bella.
Leah Bella. Leah Spitz Goldenhirsch is with us live via telephone. Her son, Ari, as you heard, critically injured in Gaza 2 weeks ago, been sedated since then. He's now in his fifth surgery as we speak. She's actually speaking to us from the hospital this morning here at JM in the AM. So now, what you went through and continue to go through as a parent is something that's being duplicated all over Israel. Unfortunately, you have a lot of colleagues. Can you explain to this global but mostly American audience what it's like to be a parent in this type of situation, informed the way you were of a son who was wounded critically in Gaza?
Yeah, so we've met a lot of new friends, from all different backgrounds, from all different cities in Israel. Everybody has their regular area where they sit outside the ICU. We basically haven't left Be'er Sheva, where Soroka hospital, since the injury happened. The army puts us up in a hospital, in a hotel here near the hospital. And we're very, very blessed with a very, very supportive family. So our siblings and siblings-in-law have been switching off to cover the night shift to not leave Ari alone even for a minute. So as long as we can be in his room, which is most of the time, except for when he's being treated, somebody from our family is with him. We play music for him. We play, we have friends send messages of support for him. We believe that he can hear us, and we want him to know how much we love him, how much we believe in him, how much his friends miss him and love him. And we've, started a small WhatsApp group for updates to immediate family that has now grown to over 1,000 people who are praying for him and wishing him well. The Jerusalem Marathon, which happens on Friday, which we were all supposed to participate in, and I haven't left, as I said, the hospital, so we didn't participate. But we asked people to also run in his honor. There's a special merit of walking and running in Jerusalem and Israel. And so everything that people can do, sending positive thoughts, doing a good, kind deed to somebody else, donating blood. As I said, he's gotten so many pints of blood. So we're asking, you know, for people to, and we know of hundreds and hundreds of people in Israel who have donated blood in his merit. He needs every good deed, every good thought, every positive energy that can be sent. And what's amazing and inspiring to see here is how many people who have been in similar situations, even just weeks ago, have already moved to rehab. And, you know, we already describe ourselves as the welcoming committee. When new families come, it really shakes you up again. You kind of go through what you went through the first couple of days you were here. So you're able to give them that wisdom of people already 2 weeks, you know, into this incident.
What is that wisdom? What do you say to families who show up in a situation that you were in 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. So my husband, Gabby, and I, on our way here, we had two of our younger, I was the oldest of five children. We had two kids in the car with us when we got the phone call. And we voiced very specifically to our children and to ourselves that we're choosing life. Ari was a person full of life. He loved to hike. He loved to, you know, be with friends. He loved to hear music. And we're choosing life. Again, at that point, we didn't necessarily understand how serious the injuries were and how critical that life choice that we made during that moment. And that's something that carried us through. And that's the advice that I give people also. It's very easy to think in this type of situation. And with all the machinery and having his life, you know, still on the line in terms of what, how the risk of his injuries and infection. But we choose life every day. We choose to look at the good. We choose to look at the miracles. We choose to be appreciative for everything that we do have. And we have a lot to be appreciative of. Whether it's fabulous care we're getting here at Soroka Hospital. This hospital has treated thousands of patients since October 7th. And they treat us like this is the first patient they've ever seen in terms of the care, in terms of how it is. It's the volunteers that come around, whether it's, you know, as I said, our families, our friends. Ari's yeshiva, he was in what was called the Hezder program. He had been in yeshiva for 2 years before he drafted the army, and he had served with his friends. His Rosh Yeshiva has been here to the hospital now 4 times ready to visit. Friends from different years in the yeshiva have been here many, many, many times. The army is incredibly supportive, whether it's, you know, as I said, putting us up in the hotel, making sure we have food to eat, making sure that we have everything that we need, that he's going to need long term. So, you know, in every situation, a person can choose what to see. And we made that decision in the car, and we are very grateful that we continue to see that every single day that we're here, what the positive is, where we can get strength from, what to help.
Do the doctors even share with you some type of timetable, what you might expect, the type of progress in the month of March, what you might expect next month? Do they even go through any of that with you, or they avoid that topic?
No, so as a person who didn't have a lot of patients before she got to this to the hospital 2 weeks ago, that's the one thing that everybody keeps on reminding me is patience and no timetable. And even now, as he went into the surgery, just like about a half an hour ago, the doctors won't even commit to what they're doing in this surgery because they don't know. They don't know how long it's going to be. And that's how it is. It's minute to minute. It's hour to hour. The changes can be dramatic. You know, whether it was last night where he suddenly had a very, very, very high temperature, and they had to put ice on his body to lower the temperature. And then 2 hours later, it was just no event had happened. So it's a roller coaster ride, but not roller coasters like in Six Flags. It's life and death when we're talking about. But we really, really, really are spending our energy on trying to do the good. One of the other things we did is that when a few months ago, before they went into Gaza, our extended family and friends had raised money for his unit for specific glasses that protect the eyes, which thankfully all of his friends were wearing and nobody's eyes were injured. It's quite miraculous to see that one of his friends' entire face was burnt except for around the eyes where the glasses were. And another friend had a sharp nail all over his face except for the glasses were. And now we went and we thankfully were able to fundraise again by a lot of very generous friends and family by the rest of his extended unit, the same glasses that they had saved their lives. So we're trying to take our energy and use it for a positive, take our energy to focus on the future, because the present is stressful, it's a roller coaster, but without having that longer vision of what we expect to, you know, expect in a few months and in a few years, etc., it would be very, very hard to deal with.
By the way, if we could be of any help with any of those fundraising campaigns, please let us know. Leah Spitz Goldenhirsch is with us live via telephone. She's literally at Soroka Hospital as her son, Ari, who was injured 2 weeks ago in Gaza, is going through his fifth surgery of what will be many as he continues to recover. And we all can pray for his recovery. Moshe Aaron Ben Lea Bella. Again, that's Moshe Aaron Ben Lea Bella. If you're looking for a specific soldier, and some people ask me that, is there one soldier I could dedicate my prayers to? Here's an idea. Ari. His name is Moshe Aaron Ben Lea Bella. Lea, I'm sure this has crossed your mind many times, and because you are such a source of inspiration as you go through this episode, I don't think it's inappropriate to ask you. You have probably thought countless times in the last couple of weeks that this story could have ended very differently. What do you think about when you think of those families and those parents that unfortunately are not in the situation that you're in?
Yeah. So that, I mean, I think just focusing on that, that in terms of that's how we're grateful, we were literally not hours, we were minutes, if not seconds, away from having a completely different end to this story. And that's what gives us tremendous strength. And Ari's officer, who had been with them for 2 years, fell in this incident. And that's why, the dedication also of the glasses is in his memory, because he was the one who pushed the parents, to get the better glasses to protect his soldiers. He was Itai Seitz, who was killed, in the same explosion. He was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful and dedicated officer. And we actually managed to go pay a shipper call to his parents. His parents have also come to visit us, and they're incredible people. And what they actually said to us, that Ari's, hopefully recovery will be their nechama, their story, because their son really protected his soldiers and unfortunately was the one killed in the explosion.
And as I said earlier, and this is so important for everyone listening to hear, I don't have to emphasize it to you, what you're going through and the parents who you just spoke about are going through is being duplicated God knows how many times throughout the entire state of Israel. With the best of our best, these incredible soldiers, incredible youth that people like yourself have raised, it is a very, very large price that the Jewish people are paying for the victory and the results of this war. I know, I'm sure you agree with that. And what can I say other than we wish Ari the best. We pray for all the injured soldiers, of course. And as you said, the results could have been very different. And now it sounds like your attitude is onward and upward. You're going to keep on moving forward and moving ahead and choosing life and choosing happiness to the degree that that's possible. And choosing to help others to whatever degree as well, and in appreciation for the fact that you've gotten to this point.
Yeah.
When do you get word about today? This could go on for how long, a surgery like this?
All these surgeries have been between an hour and 3 hours, depending on how much his body reacts to the surgery. Some of the surgeries it's caused him a lot of stress in his breathing, so they've had to cut them short. And other ones, he stayed calmer in terms of his ability to breathe through the ventilation, and then they've gone on to longer.
Right.
So we really don't know. And again, it's each surgery, even when they're successful, it's just a small baby step towards ultimately him being able to move to rehabilitation. You know, it's going to be a long process of rehabilitation. It's going to be, there are many, 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 he has many, many injuries. So each one of them has to be treated, and they are a different timetable in terms of that. And it's going to be, the rehabilitation itself. There's a lot of choices in terms of where to go for rehabilitation. Thankfully, in Israel, there are a lot of choices. All of them are excellent. People are thrilled with them. And it's a question of balancing the right one between something that's closer to home and where they can actually support him for his particular injury. And that's, we still have a while till we get there, but we've already started researching all of what the right thing is going to be for him. And we believe, and just in terms of the numbers that you spoke about, since he's here 2 weeks ago, there have been about 20 new soldiers who have come in from different incidents. Some of them injured in different levels of severity, but that's the numbers that we're talking about. So it's a lot of soldiers, a lot of families, whose lives have turned upside down. And you started in terms of where I work and what I do professionally. I haven't been from somebody who used to be a workaholic and work nonstop. I haven't been, you know, onto my even my work emails in almost 2 weeks. My life has completely turned upside down, and this has taken over every you know moment of my life and every you know every breath of my life.
I understand that. You know, in your line of work, it could take years to recover from 2 weeks of no emails, right?
But I have a very supportive company and team. Yeah.
That I'm sure. We're very familiar with a lot of the people you work with, and I'm sure you're surrounded by some incredible people. By the way, if you don't mind revealing it, what Hesder Yeshiva was he in?
He was in Yeshivat HaGolan, which is up in Fitzpin.
Yeah, we know
very,
where it
very
is.
Very special yeshiva that really supports us and supports them while they're in the army as well.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Well, do us a favor. We're going to remind everybody to daven for Moshe Aaron ben Leah Bella. Moshe Aaron ben Leah Bella. Do us a favor and whisper in his ear at some point later today that he has even more international prayers that are being undertaken by a lot of people who are very anxious to hear about his speedy recovery. I hope you'll be able to convey that message to him.
There you go.
Good luck today, and thanks so much for joining us. And
thank you. Thank you very much.
Biyachad ninatzeach. I want to thank Josh Wolf, by the way, who arranged for Leah to come on the air. Leah Spitz Goldenhirsch, her son Ari, as you heard, in critical condition. One of many in critical condition from this Gaza war. And he's undergoing surgery as we speak. Leah has a prominent position at Our Crowd, the venture platform founded by the well-known John Medved. But as you heard, she hasn't been paying much attention to work these days, understood. Please continue to pray for Moshe Aaron ben Leah Bella. Again, that's Moshe Aaron ben Leah Bella.